welcome to Wednesday morning. A beautiful day weather-wise, and day two of the crop production show that is happening, of course, at Prairie Land for the next couple of days yet. We are happy to be live on location here for the entire show today. And already, I love when people can stop by the booth for a visit already. And, I mean, it just got going. The doors literally just opened. Visited with people from Outlook and QPAR and Bigger. So the province really does come together for a show like this, and we appreciate those that take the opportunity to stop by the booth. Okay, open lines, 1-877-332-8255. Lots of different ways we can go, lots of things to talk about a little bit later on in the show. I've got a great guest on Greenland and what is going on with the United States continuing to threaten this annexation of Greenland and what really the motivation behind it is. I look forward to this guest. That's coming up a little bit closer to lunchtime today. I'd love to know your thoughts on how that's going to play out. If you want to join that conversation, how do you see that playing out? Is this all air coming from the U.S. president, or is there, you know, I think we've learned if you hear him say it, you've got to take it seriously. He's proven that he does put action behind his words with some of the recent things we've seen with Venezuela, for example. Now we're hearing some ultimatums being given to Iran with everything that's going on over there. So I don't think you can dismiss this Greenland talk, but we will get into that, and I welcome your thoughts on that. Here closer to home, we know that Premier Scott Moe and Prime Minister Mark Carney are over in China. In fact, today is the day that the meetings start with the Chinese president. Before going over there, Mark Carney yesterday met with BC Coastal First Nations. Now, people are quick to point out, and we had a good chat about this yesterday on the show. Keep in mind, this is not the actual First Nations. This is not individual indigenous bands. This is a Vancouver-based NGO, basically, that is set up. They don't hold indigenous rights. They basically are a special interest group. I feel as if Mark Carney, dealing with this group, although they've been elevated to, for whatever reason, be the spokespeople on this topic, is maybe an effort in futility. I feel like it would be better for him to find a way to actually meet with the First Nations that might be directly impacted by a pipeline, by a removal of, lifting of, and an amendment to the oil tanker ban. And you might actually get better traction. Because after the meeting that he had yesterday with Coastal First Nations, of course, they quickly say nothing has changed. They hold a news conference and say, yep, we appreciated meeting with the Prime Minister, but our position has not changed. They don't get the final say. Like, I'm sorry, but they don't get the final say. We know that nation-building projects, especially ones that cross borders, are the purview of the federal government. At some point, I'd love to see the federal government, and I think that point is now, on this issue, start being a little more definitive in their language. We're building a pipeline, and we're working with provinces and organizations and First Nations groups now to figure out what that looks like. Not we would like to, or there's a proposal for it. We're building a pipeline. We're doing this. What does it look like? Okay, let's hammer out those details. Let's start from that position and work forward. Do you disagree with me? Or maybe you think, no, he's going about this the right way. But it just feels like, in this case, he's giving a lot of power to a group that I don't believe have that power. This group, they are not the First Nations. So let's either meet with the First Nations, the actual First Nations that are involved, but let's also start using some more definitive language. So that's how the week started for the Prime Minister. And I said this yesterday, and I know I had people jumping all over me about this, because I said, this is a Prime Minister who was elected based on the fact that he touted the fact that he's a negotiator. He touted the fact that he's got a proven track record with negotiations. We don't have a deal with the U.S. yet. This is why I got jumped on yesterday by a few people on the text line saying, come on, how do you expect anyone to negotiate with the U.S. president? Look, fair enough. It's a volatile situation. I would suggest that Donald Trump is probably a tricky fella to negotiate with. I'll give you that. But it doesn't even feel like we've made a lot of progress there. And, of course, we're all pinning our hope that maybe we'll see some progress with the Chinese tariffs on agriculture, and we'll talk about that in a second here as well. So back to my point, Mark Carney, who is said to be, who is touted to be a great negotiator, I really think there needs to be a strategy that is less passive when it comes to this pipeline. He's got work that he can do that could set this up for success, could help the Alberta government, that's for sure, and I'd like to hear that. So lots of texts coming in on this. Dave, for example, with a text saying, why our federal government gives any time or acknowledgement to an activist group in this process is beyond out of touch with reality to Canadians. They should have no voice in any process, especially when they're funded by Americans and American dollars. Recognizing them as anything but an activist group is not reporting with integrity. So then another text here from Tim, Coastal First Nations, a U.S.-funded anti-Canadian oil lobby group that has nothing to do with the Canadian tribe of Indigenous people, absolutely no constitutional or legal standing of any kind. Carney meeting with them is performative theatrics and nothing more. Bobby in Saskatoon says Mark Carney is meeting with Coastal First Nations just to try and soften the blow. He will bring down the hammer and we will build a pipeline. I hope you're right. I hope you're right, Bobby, but it feels like our approach to this is too passive. And at the end of the day, sometimes I think you've just got to proceed knowing that not everyone's going to be on board. Yeah, there might be some demonstrations. Yeah, that's possible. Maybe there's going to be some attempts to block roadways, but you can prepare. You can prepare for that. You can strategically prepare for that, but this is coming. Danielle Smith says she hopes to have the formal application in place by summer. And so I think we need to be thinking that way and prepared to move that way. And I would love to see the Prime Minister moving us in that direction in a more definitive way. 1-877-332-8255. Let's grab a quick call. I know I've got Harold on the line from Regina. Harold, thanks so much for calling in. Are we going to get this pipeline built? What do you think?
Oh, absolutely. And you stole all my thunder on that.
Well, that's okay. Absolutely. I want to hear your thoughts.
Well, I knew that that's just a radical group. And Danielle Smith says she met with the First Nations, and the majority are for them. So we get the media and we get the radicals. A couple of years ago, maybe it was 3 years ago, I went out to Fort Qu'Appelle, and there were 2,000 First Nations there. And I went from one booth to the other, and I said, as a Christian, what can we do to help in reconciliation? And you know what they told me? We need to have more laughter. I had a good experience at the residential school, you know? And so there's the other side of the coin, and I find a lot of First Nations are for the pipelines, and I have a lot of friends that, you know, it's, we hear from the radicals, and that upsets
right.
me. Yeah.
Right. And Harold, I appreciate. Yeah, go ahead.
As far as Iran, we're going to have a demonstration or on Sunday at 1 o'clock, and we got some, I got a lot of Iranian friends, and unfortunately, their own sons and people are yeah. fighting their own people. And yeah. one of the ladies says, my son is just sick.
That situation, thanks Harold. That situation in Iran is really, it's tough to watch what's going on there. We'll talk a little bit more about that coming up in the show. But Harold's right. I mean, there are First Nations, and we've seen this certainly in Alberta, that are in favor of a pipeline because there's economic benefit to the First Nation to work with the government, to work with the provinces, to work with the feds on making this happen. There can be, this is about the economy, and this is about working together for a common good to make this happen. But it seems to be we've got a number of, as people are pointing out on the text line, activists that are wanting to step in front of this and try and prevent this from happening. 1-877-332-8255. So we kind of went down the rabbit hole there on pipelines, but I'm happy to chat about that, but I'm also curious to know, are you optimistic about this trip to China? Doug Ford, who, of course, we hear Premier Ford speaking out loudly on this. I don't know if you caught this yesterday, but Doug Ford coming out, doubling down on his basically focused message to Prime Minister Mark Carney, saying he's dead against any deal with China that would remove the tariffs on Chinese-made electric vehicles. This is what the Ontario Prime Minister or Premier had to say. Oh, we might have not been able to get that clip on this. This is the problem, by the way, with live radio when you're on location. Sometimes it doesn't always work as you plan. But, okay, here, we'll go to the clip now. Go ahead.
I'm very concerned, and so are my friends in Michigan concerned, when you have China coming in at a low cost of EVs, is concerning. We you know, as everyone knows, those parts go back and forth between Ontario and Michigan 7-8 times and get assembled in Michigan or get assembled here in Ontario. And when you have the Chinese government wanting to dump cheap Chinese parts and cheap vehicles here, it cost the Canadian and American jobs. So I'm absolutely 100% dead against this.
Doug Ford wanting to see the Chinese EV tariffs stay in place, says it will hurt the auto industry. We know that the retaliatory Chinese tariffs on our egg products, a direct response to those EV tariffs, and we know those EV tariffs were put in place because of a request we got from, yes, the United States, to support them to prevent the flood of Chinese-made electric vehicles into the North American market. So it's that wicked web of challenging coexisting problems. We've heard Premier Scott Moe talk about this. I'm going to say this again. I said it yesterday. I am so happy that Premier Moe is on this trip. That, to me, it helps, number one, guarantee that there will be focus on agriculture. Number two, there is a knowledgeable voice there that can speak about what the real problems are this is causing, and just lend some credibility to this discussion. There's always that worry. Does the Prime Minister truly understand our position and what we're hoping to accomplish? I think by taking the Saskatchewan Premier over there, he's demonstrated that he's willing to ensure that this priority is upheld. So let's do this. Let's take a break. I know we've got a few more texts and calls coming in. Are you optimistic about this trip to China? Will it result in, number one, a removal of the tariffs? Will it result in a reduction of the tariffs? Is this an exercise in futility and we're not going to see any forward movement? 1-877-332-8255. We'll take a break. We'll be right back here. 650 CKOM, 980 CJME.
Better year, and the crops were good like the Lord did here, but his barn burnt down with winter near. The answer came in white and black, in the farmer's almanac it says, if a man could have half his wishes, he could double his...
Welcome back to the show, Evan Bray. Great to have you here as we broadcast live today from the Crop Production Show at Prairie Land in Saskatoon, where you can't miss us. Where when you come into Hall D, right down that very first kind of hallway that you walk, right beside Borgo. You can see their big display. We're right beside them, and we welcome you to stop by the booth. Lots of people have stopped by this morning, and we appreciate that. We've got a full show lined up. We're still in open lines, 1-877-332-8255. I'm asking the question, are you optimistic about this trip to China? Mark Carney meeting with the president of China, ultimately to figure out some sort of a trade deal that negates or lessens the impact these tariffs are having. I mentioned this earlier. It feels as if we are being prepared for the fact that the tariffs are not likely to be gone completely. Ottawa is attempting to manage expectations on this as this bid to reset the relationship continues. The canola industry is basically being told by government officials, don't expect this trip to result in the complete elimination of tariffs. They're already coming out and saying that. Prepare for maybe at best reduce tariff rate weights, knowing that the tariff challenges tied to, as we've talked about, the EV tariffs that were put on, which we know was a coordinated effort as a, at the request of the United States. On that note, actually, I want to grab this call from Greg in Saskatoon. Greg, I think you're pretty definitive in the fact that we need to do this. We need to strike a deal with China. Am I right?
Absolutely. And after, like yesterday, when I called in and I said that we need this because Trump is going to, you know, the Kuzma deal means nothing to him, he proved it. He when he spoke what he said.
Yeah.
So we need to do this. Get rid of the tariff or the EV tariffs so that we can start shipping our grain. Put the boots to the ground and say, hey, we're doing this pipeline because we need to make Canada money. You know, and if Trump has a problem with all that, which he's gonna, well, then you know what? That's when, like I said last spring, you know, cut off all, you don't need our products? Fine. No more potash for you. That, you know, Saskatchewan and all the uranium and all that? No. And, Alberta, you're not getting any more oil because apparently you're getting it from Venezuela now. So you don't need our oil. Fine. Ford? He can just say, hey, you know what? We're going to shut off the power. It's time to play hardball because Trump is just getting worse.
It's not going away, is it, Greg? Thanks so much for the call. You know, it's interesting talking with, I've talked with a number of farmers, crop producers here already in the last day or two who say, you know, despite the fact that these canola tariffs are here and appear to not be going away, it doesn't change a lot with regard to crop management and how they strategically plan their crops from year to year. This is kind of added to the list of challenges that farmers deal with. But for the most part, many farmers that I've talked about or talked with here say when it comes to crop management, they're still planning on seeding canola this year. It's still a major part of the rotation and a big part of the province. We produce a lot of canola in this province, and so it's interesting. Yes, the farmers are saying we need to get rid of the tariffs, but they're not making drastic changes, still pushing forward like farmers do. Less in Corning, frustrated. Mark Carney only went and met with the Coastal First Nations for a photo shoot. He's pandering to them for votes in the election. Cindy in Saskatoon says resources could be paying for more of Canada's healthcare and educational needs. Indeed, I believe Mark Carney is very well aware of what resource development in Canada could be worth without barriers standing in the way of their development. Oil tankers are currently treading the water that is touching our western shore. They are not just Canadian. It kind of weakens a concern from an environmental view, does it not? She goes on to talk about a lack of common sense seems to be underlying a lot of this. Coastal First Nations need to explain their position within the parameters of transparency and full disclosure. I'm not going to hold my breath for that to happen. Okay, we're going to continue the conversation. Obviously, this is a big one, the tariff conversation with, number one, this crop show going on here, and then number two, Mark Carney and Premier Scott Moe over in China right now. We will continue. In fact, coming up here in just a second, we always love having our friends from realagriculture.com on the show.